You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com, where audio files are available for download. You can write to the show by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. If you'd like a full transcript, you'd better get a pen. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome to the English Express Radio Podcast with your host, Cliff.
And I'm Brandon.
Really?
Great to be here.
Are you sure? I thought your name was Jimbo.
Jimbo who?
Maybe that's just what I call you.
Oh, wow. Must be behind my back, you backstabbing Jimbo hater.
Oh, you weren't supposed to know about that. Do you have a car?
Two. Well, one's a truck.
Okay, what is in your car?
Five seats and a radio.
Like stuff. If I were to like go into your glove compartment or look in the trunk, what am I gonna find in there?
Usually you're always gonna find like jumper cables, a first aid kit, your chains for the vehicle. You're gonna find I keep like knitted hats and scarves for like cold homeless people that I see.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, wait. I gotta tell the story about Thanksgiving in Salt Lake City. Come on, you remember this story. Thanksgiving in Salt Lake City? Tell me you haven't forgotten this, because it was just incredible. You.
Are you talking about me?
I'm talking about you. I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time. We were driving around Salt Lake City, and we went through Temple Square, and there was a homeless man. We were stopped at a light.
And not just any homeless man. Okay, this guy was like 6'9" and just hair from... he looked almost halfway to Cousin... He was a mix between Hagrid from Harry Potter and Cousin It from Adam's Family.
I knew you remembered this story. And what did you ask him?
Hey, yeah, you, can we go and have Thanksgiving at your house this year? I don't have a family. Can I eat with you?
And you're like,
where's your house? I'll meet you there.
And didn't he respond by saying, I don't have a house?
No, he just stared at me.
Oh, man. Maybe that part was just my imagination.
Yeah.
Because that's what I would have said.
Now, your ex-girlfriend, on the other hand, she had a few words to say to me.
I'm sure she did.
She was the one driving, and let's just say she utilized her window lock very quickly.
Yeah. Deservedly so, asshole.
Yeah.
Now, would I find a roll of toilet paper in your car?
No, I don't have toilet. I do have napkins, but not toilet paper. So I have something I could use for toilet paper in a pinch, but I have napkins.
Yeah, that one doesn't count. Only 55%, so a majority of Americans say they have a roll of toilet paper in their car, like a full-on roll.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. Really, if you're in that big of an emergency while driving, the fault is that you didn't plan better.
Yeah.
You know?
And as I was reading this, I'm like, who are these people? Because I don't know anyone who has a roll of toilet paper in their car.
That's a good point. I've been in a lot of cars, and if half of the drivers are supposed to have them, where the hell are they?
That's what I'm saying. Who are they surveying? Who are they surveying? I don't know.
They surveyed three people.
Well, half of them have toilet paper. Okay, did you know that the average woman will own 111 purses in her lifetime?
That seems excessive.
And speaking of cars, 70,000 airbags are stolen out of cars every single year. Why?
Really?
They've got to be selling them. That's got to be like a black market type of thing where they're selling them back to the manufacturer. I have no idea. But they say 70,000 airbags are stolen out of cars every single year.
I kind of want to find out the answer to that. Why is that? That's because what my head kind of thinks is like, oh, well, if you have an accident that deploys an airbag, well, then the car's totaled. You're not allowed to legally drive it anymore, right?
Which means they need new airbags. So if they get their airbags stolen...
And you put it in at a chop shop or whatever, and you fix the damage and the car runs fine, then you sell it like it would never had an accident illegally, and no one's the wiser, right? That must be what they're doing.
That's got to be something like that. What's the best board game ever?
That's a hard question. Okay, I have two that I have a hard time choosing between.
Okay, because I do have the number two as well. We'll see if your answers are either of them.
Probably not, but my number two would be Mancala, because it's a it's a game that's been around for thousands of years. It's easy to pick up, but there's also quite a bit of strategy to it if you get down into it, and it can be good for all ages from 4 to 94, you know, like it doesn't matter.
Okay, what's your second?
And the first, I would say, is Monopoly.
That is number one. Number two is Clue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody loves Colonel Mustard, who's kills you in the study with the hammer.
Right. I always like to play a game where I know someone's gonna die.
All right, and last one here. You have a couple dogs, don't you?
Yes, two. Yeah.
Are they expensive?
No, less than a child.
Well, yeah. Survey says that the average dog costs its owner over $700 a year.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Owning a fish costs you $35.
That wasn't quite including dog food. Like I was thinking $700 because I train my dogs and, you know, we do like outside stuff with them and blah, blah, blah. We spend money on the dogs, but, dog food, I'm probably more than $700.
$35 a year, man. Little guppies.
I got three cats. To me, that's just an expensive hors d'oeuvre.
Well, let's do an English pile, shall we? We haven't done an English pile in a long time.
Oh, it's been too long.
And I don't have an English theme. Oh well.
This is the English pile.
How about this?
You're in a nightclub, for God's sake. What do you think's going to happen at a nightclub? People are drinking and doing drugs.
Yeah.
There are women there, and then people have guns.
No?
Well, you know, I don't really think that related.
Okay. Well, no. Okay, how about this? English is about teaching. English should be teaching.
Teach 'em, pale face brother, all about red man.
That's like teaching.
You racist person, you.
All right, you know what? Let's just get to the English. All right. What's the stupidest phrase in English that you can think of?
Like, I think I just said them, all of them. Those all.
Not on the list. These,
I win. I beat the list. That was the winner right there.
Well, in Chicago, T.R. Slider is a writer for the Chicago Tribune down there, and he's identified the worst phrases that are overused, lacking in originality, but they're used quite often, and they show a poor command of basic English grammar and, at worst, mental laziness. In other words, say these and you're just going to sound stupid.
Let's see how many of these I say on a regular basis.
Okay, and let's see what you think of his smarter sounding alternatives.
All right, we'll see, Mr. TL/DR.
It is what it is. My boss said this all the time. He's like, well, it is what it is. He says, it is. So don't make the definition be the exact words of the words that are also being defined. That's like saying a soda's a soda. They're like, come up with something else instead of it is what it is. Like, he thinks it's a bad comparison.
Here's the something else. It could be like, well, we might be able to make it better, but the time we would invest into it wouldn't be more beneficial in the long run. Let's just settle with what we have because it's good enough. Okay.
That's a good explanation.
Or I could say, it is what it is, and move on. See how much faster that was?
Well, Mr. Slider says, never say this thing.
Well, I'm going to argue with Mr. Slider this whole this whole conversation. Settle in, folks.
You know what, Slider? It is what it is, man. People say it. Get over it.
You know, by the by, Slider, people are people.
Okay, how about, I don't give a rat's ass. You know who says this all the time? Steve.
Teenagers.
Steve. Our friend Steve, who's now stationed in Germany. Come home, Steve! I'm sick and tired of you being away from America. Yeah, no, he always says, I don't give a rat's ass.
But he's been saying it since he was a teenager, so I was half right.
Yeah, well, Slider says, instead of that, say, I don't care, or just stare in stony silence.
Wow, that's sure original, Mr. Slider. Good thing I got rid of that phrase that was, what was your quote? Lacking in originality? I don't care.
Are you feeling like picking up a copy of the Chicago Tribune now?
Do they have a letter to the editor? Because I might want to write him one.
How about this one? If someone had told me a decade ago that in 10 years I'd be doing this, I would have never believed it. Did you ever say that? Yeah, I mean, people say this all the time when they're doing things that they didn't expect. They go, man, if somebody would have told me, you know, at this point in my past that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have never thought, I would have laughed at them, you know?
Well, I've said something similar to it. I've said, man, I never would have guessed at 15 that I would end up being a preschool teacher. That was not even on my horizon. You know, like, that's something I've said because it's true. I don't understand how that's lacking in originality.
Well, Slider says there is no alternative. No one can predict the future, so just walk away.
This guy sounds like a great friend. We should call him up and see if he wants to go out for a night on the town.
Oh, it's going to be a blast with this guy.
I may not be able to hear anything from him. He might just stare at me in stony silence and walk away.
Yeah, he sounds like a fun one, doesn't he? Okay, how about this one? This one drives me nuts when people say, I could care less.
It's couldn't. If you could care less, that means you care right now.
I have a feeling I'm not the only one who's bothered by this.
It grinds on me, but it's like one of those nitpicky things that just, if you call it out, it just makes you look like a jerk. So I just grit my teeth and you know, deal with it.
Yeah, he doesn't like that either. He says, I could not care less. I have never cared less about anything. That's what you should say instead. How about this one? The formula of how X was Y. Like, how funny was that? How good was that steak? How random was that?
Yeah, I could see that being irritating. You kind of want to make it in the statement, right?
Yeah, this is a favorite of younger girls who are always like, oh my gosh, that was so random, right? How random was that, huh? I think they're looking for validation.
Well, I guess I don't hang around enough young girls or whatever, because I don't hear this very often.
I used to hear it a lot. Not anymore. I'm older now. they say, turn your interrogative sentence, I'm having trouble with English now.
Take a deep breath, man. You'll get through it.
Into a declarative sentence.
Wow!
By saying, man, that was funny. That steak was good. Or, that was random. Instead of asking a question.
So exactly what I said.
Yeah. You get a ding on that one.
Hooray!
All right, the dog wants out.
Okay, what if the dog literally wants out?
You should say the dog wants to go outdoors.
No.
No?
No, because if the dog wants out, again, you kind of want to convey the message as quickly as possible, because the dog really wants to go out for a reason. The longer you take to say what you're trying to say.
All right, the last one here. Here's the last one. I am not a happy camper. He says,
that's how I feel on the end of most of these bits.
He says, instead of saying that, say what you actually are and save everyone some time. Since you're not a happy camper, what are you? an idiot?
A human being? I don't know. I am a descendant of... Like, how do you want me to define myself?
Okay. And things that you will hate yourself for saying. Okie dokie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, what was the one I said? I had somebody calling me for the first time with my new job to schedule me for another workday, and during this professional call, I said, "Cool beans." Oh Jesus!
Not on the list, but how about this one? Oops-a-daisy.
Right. Don't want to say that in an airport.
Lay it on me, brother. Okay. Things just got real. I imagine
it's real.
I imagine this is the sassy black girl. Oh yeah, things just got real.
I've been around a lot of sassy black girls. I have never heard them say that.
No, I always see it on TV and like parodies, like on Chappelle's Show.
You know what I have heard? Oh, this is my song. This is my song. This is my jam right here. I've heard that.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got the Fat Pile here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, the only radio show that supplements your English from some guy's garage. All aboard the English Express.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience means she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced. Whoa,
wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. What radio wants to be when it grows up.
All aboard
the English Express.
So, welcome back to the... Oh, why am I turning that one down?
Whoops.
Yeah, I was turning the wrong one down. I'm like turning down my microphone instead of the music so I can talk. I'm like, why can't I hear myself? So why do you feel like former governor of Texas Rick Perry?
Oh, that's a side conversation.
Me and Brandon were having a conversation off the because of our other right. Okay, that's not on this show. I'm sorry, guys.
Right.
A new study says that 15% of women and 10% of men would do this for a friend. What is it?
Hide a body.
Pretty close. Help cover up a crime.
Yeah.
The survey asked people just how far they'd go to help out their best friends. Here are the results. So it's interesting that women are more likely to help a friend cover up a crime.
Oh, like
you
really?
Would think that because it's 15% of women, only 10% of men.
Huh. I wonder why that is.
I have no idea, but... You know, if I need somebody to help me bury the body, I'm calling a female.
So I have a song that I want to play if you're okay with it. But
go for
I
it, buddy. Three.
It's just so appropriate to the conversation we're having right now. Okay, here it is.
Will you help me hide a body? Come on, we can't delay. No one can see him on the floor. Get him out the door before he can decay. I thought you were my buddy. We won't get caught. Just help me and don't ask why. Will you help me hide a body?
It doesn't have to be in one piece.
Oh dear, why?
okay.
Notice the singer was female.
I'm telling you, this thing is true. Okay, would you ever donate a kidney to your friend?
Do I need those? Is that one of the ones we don't need?
You need one of them.
I have two?
The other one. Yeah, of course, we all have two.
Yeah, I really don't have that many dear friends, so the pool's pretty small. I think I'm safe enough to say yes.
Okay, 70% of women and 60% men would donate a kidney to a friend. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if your friend is, like, dying, I mean, unless he was, like, a jerk to you and didn't, like, share his pretzels with you or something.
You know, if you have really strong religious convictions, I understand that side of it, if it's a genuine reason. You know, if, like, for whatever reason, your religion, like, strictly prohibits you cutting into your body, tattooing your body, piercing your body, whatever. Or, you know, taking blood. Jehovah's Witnesses! Excuse me, bad head cold. But, you know, if it's that reason, I understand. You know, I really do. Okay, you can let me die as your dear friend because I know you truly believe this, whatever. Right? But other than that, I don't see any other reason.
Okay, I like it. How long does it take you to consider somebody a best friend?
A lifetime.
Well, a survey also found that women consider somebody a best friend a lot quicker than men. Women say it takes an average of 1 year, while for men, it takes an average of 3 years.
Whatever. Come on, you guys.
You don't get best friends that fast?
You know, you do not get a best friend. It takes a lifetime, dude. And honestly, to me, the only person that is even qualified to fill that role is the person I'm spending my life with. Like, there's really only one person that can be my best friend, honestly.
Your brother, of course.
Oh, obviously that's who I'm talking about.
Well, who else would you be talking about?
Right, not the person I share a house with or have children with. No, I met my brother.
We don't have children together, Brandon.
Dear old Clifford, near and dear to my heart.
We did have a share a house together for a while, though.
Well, it was an apartment, but yeah.
All right, let's do a food and fat pile.
Today for show and tell, I'm so excited I might yell. Can't wait to show you, it's so cool. I got a carrot, I got a yam, I got a green bean, fresh not from a can. Got a potato, and as you can probably see, I also got a pea. I got a pea, I got a pea. Why is everyone laughing at me? So if you find a little pea on the floor after I leave, I think it probably belongs to me.
I got a pea!
All right. Food and fat pile, because eating food makes you fat.
Whatever. No, it does not.
If you eat a lot of it, it does.
Not necessarily. If you're eating a lot of it and using all the calories you put in, it doesn't make you fat.
Right, because that describes so many people.
Describes me.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're happy in your marriage, you're more likely to gain weight. If you're in a bad relationship, the skinnier you get.
Right, because you're trying to get yourself in shape for the next one.
That's it. It's long been known that marriage is associated with weight gain and divorce is associated with weight loss. But what hasn't been studied until now is the role of happiness and relationship satisfaction on weight gain. So they're kind of thinking that people who are happy in their marriage, they're not concerned about finding a new one. So they slack off. But if you're kind of bummed out, you might be thinking about the next in line, as you said. And so you're going to try to maintain an ideal weight. So if you find your significant other suddenly start working out like maniacs, could be that you're not as happy as you thought.
I don't know so much about that one. I don't know if I agree with that little survey you did there.
I didn't do the survey. It was from the Southern Methodist University in Dallas.
Uh-huh. So, bunch of big fat people trying to find an excuse.
It's like, oh, because we're happy.
There's all those skinny people that are just trying to have their orgies. And I know why they wear them spandex clothing.
Girls in
yoga pants over there.
So let's say you want to lose weight because you're unhappy. How do you do it?
You stop drinking. Man, that's all I did, and I lost 40 pounds. So,
the Rand Corporation did a study that determines that losing weight could be as simple as writing a shopping list and then actually sticking to it when you go to the grocery store. Man, because when I go shopping and I'm hungry, I'm looking for all kinds of stuff. I'm like, that looks good. That looks good.
Eat before you go shopping for sure. But I mean, I can write candy bars and chips on my shopping list and stick to it, and it's not going to lose me anything.
What you're supposed to do is when you write the shopping list, and it's because you're planning your meals in advance and you're not going to make all of those, impulse buys like, hey, well, that cake looks good. Hey, look at these cookies over here. Because you know people do that.
Yeah, but also I'm like, I also impulse buy when it's like, oh man, I forgot to get like the carrots or whatever for Cole's lunch. I forgot to put that on the list. Let me go get it. You know, it doesn't always have to be.
I don't think that's what they mean. They say that people plan their meals weigh on average 5 pounds less than people who buy whatever strikes their fancy. If you forgot something on the list, you can make adjustments on the fly. That's not what they mean. Dude.
Okay, I'm still trying to pick apart every study you read.
I know you are.
I think I'm doing a good job at it. Isn't it entertaining to listen to?
I hope people are. I mean, we get a lot of downloads, so I don't know. But the grocery stores, they have focus groups. They're really good at getting you to grab something as you walk by it. You know, so
yeah, especially something that tastes like sugar and has little M&Ms in it.
M&Ms,
right? Like a brownie's good, but if you crumble M&Ms and put that on top, you made it eons better, a whole other level.
Okay, how about this one? Let's say you're in good shape and your significant other.
Well, hold on. We don't have to say that. I look in the mirror every morning. Okay, I know I'm in good shape.
But what if the person you're with isn't? How do you ask them, you know, hey, sweetie, maybe you're wearing a little bit extra. Maybe you can stand to lose a few pounds.
But why would you ask them?
What if you want to?
I'm just wondering what my motivation is to want them to lose weight. That's the part I don't understand, is why would a partner ask another partner to lose weight?
Because,
like, why would they do that?
Because for a lot of people, at a certain point, they begin to lose attraction for their significant other due to their weight. Whatever you might believe about that being right or wrong, you know that's out there. So how do those people bring it up in the conversation?
Okay, if it's those people, if it's somebody who wants a woman to lose weight for physical appearance, you're a jerk and you shouldn't bring it up to her. You should suck it up and love her for more reasons than her weight. And if you can't handle it, divorce her because she's better off without you.
We have a rule on this show of helping people who ask for help. And these people who did this survey or this help obviously feel the same way, because they say the way to ask somebody to lose a few pounds without ending up in the doghouse and without being a jerk is as follows. You can say, you know, I don't really like the way that outfit looks on you anymore. It tells the guy, they say the guy should tell her he doesn't know why it looks odd, and then suggest a looser knit. And that way she realizes, oh, I have to buy bigger clothes, and maybe it'll kind of motivate her. You know, I don't know what it is about those clothes. Like, you know, maybe get something a little looser. It just doesn't look as good on you anymore. I just don't know why. No?
Yeah, okay. So treat them like a 5-year-old and use terms like a looser knit, because all men use that. Nothing will tip her off at all that all of a sudden this is happening.
Okay, how about this? Turn it on yourself and be like, man, I feel so fat. can't get over how fat I feel. They say women have used that line on each other for eons.
No, I'm sorry. This is a whole dirtbag segment completely, and I can't agree with any of it. What foul person says, honey, you're getting too fat for my eyes. Go lose weight. Like, if it's for health reasons, if she's gone to the doctor and the doctor has told her your weight and your, like, whatever's wrong with your blood or whatever's going on with your fat, whatever the condition is, you are at health risk unless you lose weight. One way to alleviate your risk is to lose weight. At that point, you would speak to her by saying, the doctor said you need to lose weight and I want to help you with that. What do you like to do? Do you want to go row canoes? Do you want to go hiking? Do you want, the list goes on. Whatever.
How about this one? Okay. You find her least attractive friend. Okay. This prevents her from thinking you're checking out her hot friends. And you say, you know, your friend Katie isn't nearly as attractive since she gained all that weight.
Oh my God.
So she'll think like, wow, if Katie's gained weight, look at me, and they'll be more motivated.
She'll think, wow, my boyfriend's a real asshole that he would say that about my friend.
Okay, how about this one? I've got this great new female trainer at the gym. See, because she'll start going to the gym with you to make sure the trainer doesn't get too personal. It's a way to get her to go with you.
Jesus.
Okay. How about this one? Buy her a really beautiful outfit that's one size too small and say, oh, the salesman said it was for smaller women. And since you're smaller, I thought you would fit into this. Isn't this your size?
Was this written by like FHM? Where did this come from?
Or you could do like our previously talked about friend and just buy your wife a treadmill. Do you remember when he did that?
What?
He bought her a treadmill.
I don't remember. Did she ask for it or he just
he just bought it.
Well, that's one way to do it.
You don't like that one?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. All right.
That is such an awful list, and I shudder that there are relationships. There's enough relationships out there that function like that, that there's a list about it.
All right. Well, I gotta end with a couple of the fattest cities and the thinnest cities. The fattest metro areas, Memphis, Tennessee, Shreveport, Louisiana, Indianapolis, Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, basically the entire South.
It sounds like where all the seafood is really popular, too.
Yeah. Now, the thinnest metro areas, Tucson, Denver, Colorado. I give myself a ding for that.
That's not a ding worthy. You can't ding yourself for living somewhere.
Okay. Colorado Springs, San Francisco, Sacramento, California. Not bad.
Okay, all right. I revoke my previous ding.
You know, you want a ding, don't you?
I want a ding, yeah. That's kind of cool. I like the ding.
Las Vegas, Boise, Reno, and Hawaii. So, the West, really? Where we live.
Wait a minute. Hawaii is skinny?
Not the natives. As a whole, dude. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week here on the English Express Radio Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Now to some more wholesome, good-natured family entertainment. Oops, wrong show. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.